Fuck, you're listening to The Morning Review every weekday morning, round about this time. Barbara Friedman comes into studio, lets us know what's trending online. Good morning, Barbara. How are you doing? I'm sure Quentin de Kock's statement is going to feature, but later we're going to be putting on entire statement on our website.
Yes, we will do that. But of course, right now, what continues to trend is hashtag Tembisa 10, which I know we're all trying to like look the other way as actual journalists. I get that. But let's just say we have to mention it. And I think for me, I don't know about you, but I felt yesterday, quite a bit of the day, I felt really disheartened. I felt disheartened that, you know, in an industry or in a profession, let's put it that way, that we have always been proud of, that this becomes the news cycle. And, you know, just to see like a channel like ENCA taking this so-called presser.
Well, all SABC.
All of that, all did. I know. I happened to just see that. But still, you know, I don't understand. And then when I look at the reaction on Twitter, and I mean, listen, I always say Twitter is a very small universe. And people sit there doing their Twitter thing. But just to see the way people were swallowing this hook, line, and sinker, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I really enjoyed Richard Poplack's piece on the Daily Maverick this morning. He's essentially saying that Iqbal Server and Piet Rampedi are pushing South Africa into a Fox News style environment where the substance and the accuracy doesn't matter, but the content that you provide provides an ecosystem for people to respond to. It provides an ecosystem which has an impact on our society and
politics. But this is the danger of it. You know, how can ordinary citizens discern fact from fiction if allegedly credible news sources are putting out these kinds of stories?
I gleamed over the, just out of morbid fascination. I didn't watch it, and then I read some of the pieces.
They'll be bringing it.
Of course, they've been bringing it since July. Of course, but I would suggest direct you to Richard Poplack's piece on the Daily Maverick. He sets it out beautifully of how it leads us into that QAnon era of what we saw American politics still suffering from at the moment. We're still talking about Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse and Facebook's possible name change.
Yeah, you know, it's a sort of a trending topic at the moment. It has been for a while, but the reason it's sort of reared its head again is because today, Thursday, is meant to be the day that he announces Facebook's new name. If you don't understand what the metaverse is, John spoke to Jan Vermeulen from iBroadband yesterday. It's on our website where he goes into a little bit about, you know, the sort of meaning, which of course at the moment is quite vague and quite nebulous, a bit like in the early days of the interwebs where people didn't quite know what it was going to look like in the future. But you know, as someone who read William Gibson's Neuromancer when I was about 20, I mean, it came out in 1984, so I was probably like 23 or something when I read it. And you know, all the subsequent science fiction movies and novels that you've read, you know, it really does make me think, you know, is the Zuckerverse going to be something for the good? Because certainly cyberpunk culture, literature was the opposite of good.
When I watch things like Black Mirror, it's like we're not looking forward to some sort of futuristic dystopian universe. We are living in it at the moment.
We are living in it. I mean, I think the other thing which I just wanted to make a little point about, which sort of was something that came out of the Neuromancer thing, and I just want to, was that the main character Case there, when he eventually has various operations, his terror is not about dying. It's about being trapped in this body, this physical real body that he loathes. And for me, that is just a symbol of where we're going. Do we hate our life in the real world so much?
Well, the last 20 months have also shown us we can do everything online. We can work online. We can social. Like I went to a few.
We go to concerts online with our friends.
I watched them. I was invited to a few Zoom parties, Zoom birthday parties. And it makes you feel great to say hi to the person.
But it's not the same.
Not the same, because you can't pull someone in to a corner of a home or a party and have a conversation. And, yeah. So you all sort of start taking turns to address this birthday person, and it feels like a meeting. No.
It's absolutely a big no from me too. And then finally, beer and electricity. I thought this was just a story that caught my eye, you know, because I think that nobody wants to be without their beer, as we know, in South Africa. So SA Breweries are now saying goodbye to Eskom. They're planning to go entirely renewable by 2025, particularly Castle Light. They tweeted out about, although people on Twitter said, well, it tastes like urine. And the one guy said, and I've tasted urine, so I know. No offense, Castle Light. And I just thought it was funny. But, you know, listen, hats off to them.
Look, what, they're going to black label to no blackout label? I think it's great. Get off the grid and give the people what they want.
Exactly. So we can drink beer during load shedding.
Of course. Barbara Friedman, she joins me in studio every day. She's back on Monday for Barb's Wire. She and the team look after our social medias, also curates our website, tapetalk.co.za. But just scanning through Quentin de Kock's statement, it's a 3-page statement. Barbara says she's going to be putting this all on our website. I'm going to read you a few paragraphs, and I think it's important to ventilate this. Gosh, it is quite a bit here. But let me go and say, I did not in any way mean to disrespect anyone by not playing against the West Indies, especially the West Indian team itself. Maybe some people don't understand that we were just hit with this on Tuesday morning on the way to a game. I am deeply sorry for all the hurt, confusion, and anger that I have caused. I was quiet on this very important issue until now, but I feel I have to explain myself a bit. For those who don't know, Quentin de Kock says, I come from a mixed race family. My half sisters are colored and my stepmom is black. For me, black lives mattered since I was born, not just because there was an intentional international movement. The rights and equality of all people is more important than any individual. I was raised to understand that we all have rights and they are important. I felt like my rights were taken away when I was told what we had to do in the way we were told. And since our chat with the board last night, which was very emotional, I think we all have a better understanding of their intentions as well. I wish this had happened sooner, because what happened on match day could have been avoided. I know I have an example to set. We were previously told we had the choice to do what we felt we wanted to do. I chose to keep my thoughts to myself and thought of the pride of playing for my family and my country. I didn't understand why I had to prove it with any gesture when I live and learn and love people from all walks of life every day. When you are told what to do with no discussion, I felt like it takes away the meaning. If I was racist, I could easily have taken the knee and lied, which is wrong and doesn't build a better society. Those who have grown up with me and played with me know what type of person I am. The statement goes on. I'm going to leave it to you to go look at it on our website. Barbara Friedman is going to be putting it online very, very shortly. But from what I've just read, Quentin de Kock issuing a statement just a short while ago, issued by in his name through Cricket South Africa. I'd like your thoughts on that. 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567.